ITB Radio Mainstream is always looking for new and innovative programming. But in 2002, they found me. I'm Dave Williams here in Preston, where we're putting together ACB Radio Mainstream's newest programme, The UK Connection. We start Thursdays at 1 GMT, that's Wednesday evenings in the States, with a mix of news, views and interviews. We're looking for your contributions as well, so drop us a line, dave@acbradio.org, that's dave@acbradio.org, or even pick up the phone and call the UK on 44700 533 8876. That's 44700 533 8876. UK Connection.
Don't you think he sounds tired?
As well as
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove.
You can hear
live, unpredictable internet
on the ACB Radio Interactive. ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
the 80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents,
bringing you the very best
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more. By the blind, for the world.
ACB Radio Interactive.
ACB Radio.
Hello there, I'm Jonathan Mosen, welcoming you to another Blind Line here on ACB Radio Mainstream. This is the interactive talk show exclusively for the blind and vision impaired, and it's nice to have you with us. I am going to be very invigorated and energetic today because it is really getting rather cold here. Winter is setting in where I am, and in the south of the South Island of New Zealand, there's snow and sleet and all sorts of terrible things. Where I am, it's not quite that bad, but it's cold enough for me to say that it's cold. So, it's a very opportune thing that we're going to be talking about cruising the Caribbean. And what better way to cruise the Caribbean than with a whole lot of friends from ACB? And we're going to be talking about this with the organisers of this cruise. Sue Slater and her husband Larry are with us on the line. And welcome to you both. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be there.
Also, likewise, also.
Tell me, how did you guys get into the... Before we talk about the specifics of the cruise, the travel business, how did you guys get into that?
Well, I always loved to cruise, and about a year ago, I signed on with a cruise agency. And so I've been going through training and working with different people, and I thought it would be a great idea for me to do a fundraiser group cruise for ACB and all of its members and friends. And it seems to be catching on really well.
And Larry, have you been in it for a while longer?
No, actually, my wife and I got in together. We actually saw an advertisement in a cruise magazine and decided this would be the way. We have been on a number of different types of cruises before, and we felt that what a good way to find out how to book cruises and what to look for in cruises. And we felt that this would be a wonderful opportunity for people with ACB to go, particularly because the more people go on the ship, the more that they will take care of us and cater to us. If only two or three go at a time, it's really an imposition on some of the cruise part to help you around. But with that many people, then they'll have to do it because they certainly want to make sure they stay on the ship and nowhere else.
So have you had fairly favorable experiences when you've been on cruises in the past, or have there been access issues that have sort of put the dampener on it a bit?
For the most part, it's been very, very favorable. When they know that I am blind, they really go out of their way to help me. They'll read the menus after dinner and take my menu orders for the next day. I need no sugar added desserts, and they're usually very good about getting those for people who need it. And if I needed somebody to guide me, if my husband wasn't around, they would do that for me. And people on the ship, especially the staff, are really friendly. And if you need special things, they'll go out of their way to help you for the most part.
But I do have to admit, sometimes you have to be your own advocate and talk to people above the waiter or the waitress. And I find when you do that, you do get results.
Every so often, every week, in fact, every week like clockwork, the executive officer of ACB, executive director Charlie Crawford, puts out a news notes from the national office, and I seem to recall that there was a bit of news about a year or so ago to do with Melanie Brunson doing work with cruise liners on accessibility standards. Do either of you know anything about that?
I know that with Carnival Cruise Lines, that they have a special needs desk, and they are very familiar with guiding blind people and visually impaired people. They have decks assigned for people that come on the ships with guide dogs. And so they, in fact, they told me they would have large print and braille bingo cards for the people that came on the ship. They said that they would arrange a way for the people to listen to the itinerary for each day, and that would be no problem. And they've been really good in talking with me about setting up things for people that are visually impaired when they go on the ship at the first week in December. And I know that some of the cruise lines have been sued in the past couple of years, and so they are making an effort now to do things right and have accessibility there for people that need it.
What kind of is there a typical person who goes on these cruises? You sort of associate it more with older people, I think, than younger people. Is that an unfair generalization?
Yes. It's really a myth, because you'll find people on cruise ships anywhere from 1 month old to 80 years old. In fact, the average range of people that are on Carnival go from 22 to 50, and it just depends on the time of year you go, the itinerary you go to, as to what type of people you're going to find and what they're looking for. And there's really no, quote, average cruise person, not today anyway, not with all the different cruise lines and ships that are out there on the ocean.
We welcome any calls that people have. If you have any questions about cruising in general, and we are going to talk in particular about the ACB cruise in just a second, you can give us a call at any time. The phone number, area code 212-812-2800. That's how you get hold of us, area code 212-812-2800. And when you're asked for a conference code, the one you enter courtesy of spiderphone.com is 0480-5512. On this very cruisy blindline show, 0480-5512. So let's talk specifically about the cruise for ACB members. When is that happening?
It's going to be the first week in December out of Miami. It's on the Carnival Triumph. The ship leaves Miami on November the 30th and comes back into Miami on December the 7th. It will have 3 days at sea and will go to three ports of call: Cozumel, Mexico, Grand Cayman Island, and Ocho Rios, Jamaica.
Wow, that sounds glorious. And what kind of facilities can people expect on the ship?
Okay, we have four types of cabins booked, and the most people wanting, they really want the ones with the balconies, so I may be putting in more cabins with balconies. We have two inside cabins booked, the 4A and 4B, which is on the Riviera and the main deck. And then we have two outside ocean view cabins booked, one with a picture window and one with a 35-foot balcony. The room size on the inside rooms is 185 square feet, and the outside ocean view rooms have 220 square feet. The rooms are not a bad size, especially the ocean view rooms. And in the ocean view rooms, the beds are in the back, and they have a leather couch with a coffee table in the front of the room. They have showers in the bathrooms with dressing room areas, a television with CNN, ESPN.
And they have tubs also.
And movies. And lots of drawer and closet space so people can bring their stuff and there'll be room for them. And people can bring their laptops with their screen readers because there is internet service. Of course, there's a charge for that. And the cruise runs for people between $700 and $1,000, depending on which type of room they get. And on the room price, they add on port charges and government taxes for each one of the port cities. And then there's cruise insurance for people to get if they want to, which I highly, you know, recommend. And I put out a posting on ACB of the different charges that are not covered by this cost, and of course I'll be glad to go over them.
That really sounds glorious, you know. I was just thinking that since you've got internet access out there, maybe ACB Radio could become the first offshore internet radio station and somehow hitch a lift, do a program from there.
That'd be wonderful.
Wouldn't it be fun? I'll have to talk to Charlie about that. So what kind of activities does one get up to?
My husband has got a sample day's worth of activities to read so people can get an idea, and also a sample menu from the dining room. Go ahead, honey.
Okay, well, it's 6:30 a.m., and it's coffee for early risers, 7 to 8. Acosta Spa and Gymnasium opens up. I understand it's one of the largest ones on all the ships. 7:45 a.m., main seating for breakfast. 8 to 10 a.m., light breakfast served. 8 a.m., the slot machines open up. All those gamblers get ready.
Good stuff, yep.
And or if you want aerobics, beginner step aerobics. At 9 a.m., there's a late seating for breakfast. Or you can sleep as late as you want. You know, it's up to you. 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., the shuttleboard and volleyball equipment available, and you do your own thing. 9 a.m. to 12, children morning activities. 9:30 to 10:30, library opens up. 10 a.m., ping pong tournament. 10 a.m., full casino opens up. 10:30 a.m. to midnight, you can look at the photos. 24 hours, coffee, tea, and bouillon served. 11 a.m., now this is just for one day. I suspect this was the last ANC. 11 a.m. horse racing. Cheer your favorite horses as they race down the track. Actually, it's where people are bet on a horse, and they basically spin a dice, and that's how the horses advance. So another money grabber.
Okay.
At 12, bring a lot of money with you. Expect to do all of this. 12 p.m. to 2:30, Sun Lovers lunch is served, and that's basically done on the outside, I believe. Then 12 p.m., main lunch served. Let me add this about dining. I go primarily into cruises for the dining and entertainment. And dining, if you're not satisfied with one entree, you can have all of them. You can have as much as you want or as little. There's also vegetarian entrees, and they can even cater to some special meals, depending on what your allergies are and so forth. 12 to 2 p.m., children supervised free play. 1 p.m., talent show registration. Like I said, I think this was the last day. Also, 1 p.m., ice carving demonstration in the slot tournament. 1:30 p.m., late lunch seating, pillow fighting and pool games. So what that's all about, 2 p.m., dance class, 2 p.m., children's talent, 2 p.m., men's hairy chairs contest. I'd like to answer that one if I can. 2 to 2:30, tour of the bridge, calypso music, 2 to 5 calypso music, 2 to 5 children afternoon activities, 2:30 p.m., newlywed and not-so-newlywed game. That's very a lot of fun, and people shed their inhibitions on there. Believe it or not, we find out all sorts of intimate things about them. 3 p.m., they have a cooking lesson and food carving demonstration by the chef. 3:30 is jackpot bingo. And I have to admit, bingo is one way for them to raise a lot of money, so be careful, because the bingo game goes rather quickly.
Mm.
Usually 15 to 20 minutes for each bingo game. 4:30, debarkation briefing. You don't have to be there. Usually it's on TV. It's good if you are there. 4:45 to 5 p.m., coffee, tea, ice cream, and treats. And then 4 to 5:45, main seating friendship party. 5 to 6, children supervised free play. 6 p.m., main seating for American dinner. 6 to 7, children's playroom closed for dinner. 7 to 10, children's evening activities. 7:15 to 8:15, late seating for friendship party. 8 p.m., main seating jackpot bingo. Once again, they want your money.
Yep.
8:15 p.m., so bring a lot of money if you like bingo. Late seating for American dinner. 8:30, showtime for main seating. These shows are very exciting. They're Las Vegas-type shows. The dancers are in terrific shape. The women look gorgeous. Wonder what they look like without everything on, but anyway, 9:30 to 1:30 a.m. is party music, rocking the night away, visiting the spinning piano bar, great music for lifting and dancing. 10 p.m. is late singing for the monster bingo. Usually I give away a cruise or two for those things. 10 p.m. dance club begins, 10 p.m. the 2 a.m. children's pajama party, 10:30 p.m. an old English story, 12 a.m. midnight special show, 12:30, 1:30 a.m., midnight pasta buffet, 1:30, 2:30 a.m., mini buffet. I must have to say something in the midnight buffet. A lot of cruise lines are starting to cut way back on there, so I'm hoping that they'll continue that, because that's usually a good time. The food is very good, and you get to meet a lot of people there. And basically, that's a sample day tour. Of course, when you go on port, it's a lot different. They don't do quite as much. But there's always so much to go on, and if you have children, they cater to children an awful lot. We wouldn't recommend you bring your children because you want to have a good time. But if you need to bring your children, We would, of course, we'd have to get you a bigger cabin and everything, but there would be activities for them.
Sounds great. We have a call. Just let me proceed with this one from area code 631. Hello there. I think I put them on. Hello, area code 631. What's happened to them? Let me just... Oh, they seem to have gone. That's a shame. We obviously left them waiting too long. 631 might like to call back. Alright, so that's a kind of a sample of what people can expect when they go on the cruise. How accessible are these facilities? Like, is it easy for a blind person to find your way around these places?
I'm sighted, so let me say that again. I'm sighted. And pretty accessible. There are three sets of elevators. I think once they're on the ship 2 or 3 days, they really learn their way around. You may have difficulties in some of the places where you have a lot of stairs to climb and everything, but there are usually enough people around there and give you a hand. And since there are going to be so many blind people there, I would assume that they would have extra people there to help them around and seat them and so forth. The casino, I think you can also do okay on it. I'm not sure if they're going to have any slot machines, you know, like the Ray Charles slot machines. Mm-hmm. They may that actually talk to you. Be careful in the casino because they love to take your money. It's how they make money, folks out there. I mean, there are winners just like any other casino. Usually there are a bunch of nickel machines there that I like to play. And there you might be mentioned the dining room. You'll find most everyone would be glad to help you. You're not a stranger. You want to mention something?
Right. Yeah. I talked to the cruise line, and they said they would arrange for an orientation describing directions on the ship when people get on the ship the first day. And I just wanted to tell a little bit about the ship. The ship is the Carnival Triumph. It was built in 1999. It is a very large ship. It's 102 tons, and it cruises at 21 knots, which is very, very fast. It holds 3,700 passengers and crew. Now, I've been on large ships, and the lines are not bad because they pace everything, so you don't have to stand in line a lot of long time at the buffets or when you want to do things. The public areas on the ship, they have a very large tri-level show where they have the different Las Vegas people during the week, and every show is different. They have singers, they have comedians, and everybody is really professional, and it's just a whole lot of fun, and it's a great, great entertainment. They have a movie theater where they do movies at different times during the day. They have a library where you can play cards or games, and I'm going to be bringing on Braille games and cards, and people can bring their own stuff on, too, to play with other people that are low vision or also visually impaired. They have a piano bar where you can get around the piano and sing. They have a big dance club that has different kinds of dance music that's open to late in the morning. They have a jazz combo with a nice intimate lounge where people can listen to jazz or dance. They have sports bars. They have 24-hour room service, and they have a 24-hour pizzeria where people can go 24 hours a day to get pizza, Caesar salad, and rolls. They have the theme of the ship is the world, so there's a lot of nautical stuff, nautical maps, globes of the world on the different walls and throughout the ship. It's supposed to be an absolutely gorgeous ship, and it's a pretty new ship, so it should be really, really nice for people that come on.
For those people that have internet, put in Carnival Triumph, search for that, and it should bring up all sorts of things for it.
Well, we'll have to brush up on our sea shanties. I can see that.
Right, I would love to tell a little bit about the food being served there.
Go ahead.
Okay. Carnival Cruise Line has always been the leader when it comes to making our guests' dining experience something special. Total choice dining continues this tradition. You have flexible seating times on the stand four, increased wait staff per table, fountain fun card, unlimited soft drinks. Soft drinks used to be free when we first started cruising over almost 20 years ago. Now they charge a minimum of $1.52. You can get a limited soft drink card, I understand, around $29 plus usually 15% tip on that, which is maybe the way to go if you like to drink a lot of sodas. Sometimes what I do is bring my own soda on board, save some money that way, or buy it on port. There's Sea View Bistros, casual dining, reservations, always supper clubs, sprint class ships, Some of our newer ships, notably those in Spirit class, will feature late night supper clubs. Well, we're on which?
We're in Destiny. We don't have a late night supper club.
Okay. But anyway, I want to read you what's at Destiny. You always have a reserved table in the dining room, but you can also dine casually in our Seaview Bistro restaurant, where the food is just as delicious at no additional cost, but the atmosphere is relaxed. Seaview Bistro offers salads, pasta, and entrees such as chicken, shrimp, and grilled to order New York strip steak. For a late night snack, try our 24-hour pizzeria offering a variety of oven-fresh pizzas, as well as fresh Caesar salads and incredible garlic rolls. In our elegant dining rooms, you'll find menus filled with fabulous dishes, all included in the price of the cruise. Now, this is nice about cruising. You can have as much food as you want, and you don't pay an extra dime for it. Choose delicious lobster, beef Wellington, and duck a la orange. Order from our helpful, low-fat nautical spa menu. Expect to be tempted with irresistible dessert masterpieces such as baked Alaska and cherry strubly. One thing not to expect to build, bon appetit. Now, I would also like to mention there is always room service, usually available 24 hours a day. I have used it on occasion if you don't feel like going to dinner or you don't like what's on the midnight buffet. Usually they have a set thing. It's very good. I want to read you a sample menu.
Yeah, so can I just check with you, when you get the room service on these cruises, is that also part of the package, or do you pay extra for room service?
For most part, it's part of the package.
Okay. When
you're ordering something really special.
All right.
And they will mention cost to you. But as a room, it's usually the part of the package, and it's great.
Excellent.
You know, of course, if you get alcohol and things like that, it will be added to your tab. But sandwiches and salads and things like that. I used it a lot for a late night snack when I didn't like what was on the midnight buffet. Or maybe sometimes they don't even have a midnight buffet. They just pass around samples.
Well, it's just as well that there's a gym there to work all of this off, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, my advice to you is the secret to the buffet is take a little bit of everything and leave stuff on your plate, and that way you won't put on a lot of weight.
Yeah, I guess that's right. I have to try and bear that in mind for daily life as well.
Right. I mean, food is like staring you in the face 24 hours.
Right.
So I always say lose 10 pounds before you go on the cruise and you'll be just fine.
Right.
Now, one of the strange things about cruises is when you leave the cruise and you go back home, you say, gosh, I'm hungry again. Where's the food?
Yeah.
You're really pampered there. The way that they do work for tips, so please, if they do a good job, please leave them a good tip. My wife will explain tips a little bit later, but I would like to read this beautiful menu. I think this may be the dinner menu. I have to admit, we have been on a lot of cruises. This is an extensive menu. For starters, there's cherrywood smoked breast of Long Island duckling, red burgundy wine, and onion marmalade. Then, or you can have freshly grilled portobello mushroom and hand-picked mescaline lettuce, or you can have duet. Now, you can imagine hand-picked mescaline lettuce, you know, down the boat there, light shining on this lettuce hydroponically, and there they are picking that. I can just see that now. Then there's duet of granulated mussels and shrimp provencal, beef and barley soup and diced root vegetables, West Indian pumpkin soup, or gazpacho andaluz. And you can have one or all of them. You can have two or all of them. Salads, you have mixed garden field greens with tomatoes, cucumber, and carrots, or Belgium, endive, and radicchio leaves. It's usually very elegant. They bring the salad, and they bring the dressings, and that's what you want. And usually dressings are all made by on ship extremely well. Now, if you're still hungry, we have the main courses. So, linguine with Italian sausage, assorted bell peppers and fresh mushrooms, or pan-seared filet of fresh fish with roasted garlic vinaigrette, or grilled brochettes of fresh garden vegetables, or deuce of the ocean, Newburgh style, or broad Cornish game ham with black cherry saucer, or a rack of New Zealand spring lamb. There you go. We got some business from New Zealand.
Well, it's the best lamb there is.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be good meat.
Yeah.
Cléonaise Ménageau, or grilled aged New York sirloin steak with three peppercorn sauce. Or if you don't like anything on the menu, they may be able to get you something else. The waiters are there to please you. You can get as much as you want. If you don't like something, you can push it aside and they'll get you something else. And it's all included in your cruise, and it's wonderful. I mean, this food looks wonderful, and I'm sure they'll have a very good vegetarian menu also. So if you have any special needs, you have any questions on it, We will be there personally to help you out, to help make your cruise a very nice experience, and hopefully want you to do this more and more, and hopefully if it works out, ACB will be doing this on a regular basis. So
Every so often I hear somebody suggesting, sort of only half in jest, that maybe they should have the whole ACB convention on a cruise ship one year.
That'd be
great.
They've done conventions on ships before.
And Sue didn't mention this, but also ACB, this is a fundraiser for them, $25 of each person will go to ACB, and Carnival Cruise Lines has agreed to match that. So ACB will be making money out of this. Basically, we'll be doing everything, and they'll be hosting it.
That's good. You were going to make some comment about tipping, Sue.
Yes. The tipping is so much a person for the week, and they said to budget $68.25 a person for the week. And the way that works is they put that on your card when you come on, and then at the end of the week, if you feel you've gotten great service, you can either add on to the tip or you can readjust it and give less if you don't think the service warranted that. And the tips are split between the steward and the waiter and the maitre d' and the person that does the cleaning, you know, that types of stuff. And they break it down for you when you get on the ship. Now, the only money you can use on the ship is in the casino. Otherwise, everything that you get on the ship is put onto your room number on the card. And at the end of the week, you go up to the purser's office, and they have a detailed list of what you've spent. And they'll go over it with the people that, you know, need that to be gone over with, because there's nobody to read it to them. And then you tell them how you want to pay for it, credit card, check, cash, traveler's check, you know, however you want to handle it. But that's the way it's done.
I must say it also that if they charge for every little thing, so please don't make a phone call on ship. It'll cost you a small fortune.
Right.
Bring a cell phone. I don't know if cell phones work out there, but sometimes when you stop at the three ports, you can usually use a calling card or something like that and call from there, because it's extremely expensive. So, it's up to you, and actually there are times when you need to use the phone. But if you have, you can't get Internet accessibility. They charge so much for it, but I'm not quite sure what it is. But like I say, they make a lot of money on you on the liquor and the gambling and everything else. And, of course, the cruise part is just a small part of it, but actually that's part of cruising.
Yeah.
Right, and people can choose to spend as much or as little as they want to over the initial price of the cruise.
When you get into port, for example, in Mexico or other places, how scripted is the itinerary there? Are you pretty much left to your own devices?
Larry and I are going to work with the people that do the shore trips to see what we can do. Now, every tour will not be descriptive, but we've gone on trolley tours before. And trolley tours are wonderful because they go around the island and they stop at different places, and they are very, very descriptive, ordinarily. And if you tell them that you can't see, they even give you more description. And it's like you actually could see with the amount of description that they give you. And I've gone to forts and all different types of places with these trolley tours. And once you get down on the plantation or in the fort, they describe to you what's going on. They tell about the history of the place. And it's really great, and I've never had any trouble with any of the tours, you know, that I've been on. Now, of course, people that are brave enough to go snorkeling or diving, that's arranged, or they can just go sit out on the beaches. In Jamaica, we're going to try to work out a deal with the resort that's one of our clients to see if we can have a bus come pick up the people and have them go to the resort for the day and use their beaches and eat lunch there. We're trying to work that out. So the different tours and stuff we're in the process of working out now. And, of course, depending on how many people are going will depend on how many tours we have.
When does the closing date occur for people who want to express an interest in this?
There's a $50 deposit due by June the 8th.
All right.
Right. But the cabins are for two people, so it's $50. And then the second part of the payment is due by July 3rd, and the balance is due by September 21st. All of this is refundable up until the 21st of September in case anybody changed their mind for any reason. At the end of the interview, I'll give all the contact information for people so they can get in touch with me and the agency.
Oh, honey, tell them it's $250 second time.
I'm sorry, you have $250 in July, each person, and then the balance is due by September the 21st. And the cruise line, for anybody who needs it, can also have their airfare and hotel done through the cruise line. And if they want to do their own, then the transfers from the airport to the ship and back are very minimal. They're like $10 or $15 a person each way. And the bus from the cruise line will pick them up and drop them off at the pier and get them into line to go through to the ship.
Presumably there's medical attention, is there, if you need it?
I'll tell about that. Okay. There's always a doctor on board. Usually they have a well-equipped dispensary, I guess, hospital. However, I would advise people to please bring their medicine with them, because it's very hard to get anyone to take prescriptions there. Usually they do have a bare minimum supply on hand as far as medicines go. Make sure you have adequate amount of medicine. Make sure it's packed. And if you have any medical problems, I believe they usually ask you to fill out a medical form. I'm not quite sure. Part of your insurance does take care of medical emergencies in case you have to go off ship.
The cruise insurance.
Right. The cruise insurance, usually it also takes, if you get sick during the trip, you have to go home. Usually it sends you home, and I'm not quite sure what the details are, but I know it's a very good option. They also have a nurse there. They do charge every time you go see them. It's like the States. Normally, your insurance may pick it up if you have a good insurance. I know Blue Cross does. But just hope we stay healthy and we don't have any problems. When you go off a port, don't drink the water. Don't eat the lettuce. That's all I can say.
Mm.
The food should be okay, but we don't want you to get sick and spoil the fun.
And I recommend that everybody get C-bands. They're these little stretchy bands that go on your wrist, and they have a little ball in the middle of the band that goes into the pressure point in the inside of the wrist, and it keeps you from getting seasick. There's no side effects like with medicine, and they are wonderful.
And you can get them at any Walgreens store. They're running around $12.50, something like that. It's well worth everything you pay for. You can get on the ship, but you'll pay more money on that.
Yeah.
Oh, make sure you have medicine for your dog, too, if they take it. And do yourself a favor and buy an Imodium or something similar to that. You can get the generic form where you can take the tablet in case you do need it. It does work wonders.
Now, about guide dogs, guide dogs are welcome on the ship, and they will assign a special poop deck for each of the guide dogs when they come on the ship with AstroTurf or litter. But you need to bring a vaccination record, a shot record, health certificate, and 2 days before the ship sails, you need to go to your vet and get what is known as a Department of Agriculture stamp. The dogs are allowed into Cozumel, Mexico, and into Grand Cayman Island. However, they're not allowed off the ship in Jamaica because they have a 6-month quarantine period. But they can be on the ship with their owners. And I might be able to work out something once we all got on the ship, depending on how many people had an interest in getting off in Jamaica, that they had guide dogs to have some kind of thing done with the dogs if they did want to go on to the port. I can't promise that, but I would try to work something out. I just want everybody to know that in advance so they can decide whether they want to bring their dogs or not.
And I might add, if you can possibly leave your dogs at home, I think you'll have enough people guiding you, and you'll certainly have more fun because you won't have to be concerned about your guide dog. But, you know, if you need to bring them, by all means bring them. They'll be welcome on board.
Presumably guide dogs get seasick too, do they?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they would have to talk to their vet on it. I know that they do okay on the ship, but, you know, it's a big responsibility, of course. But it depends on whether you need it or not to get around. Hopefully you won't need it, but if you need it, by all means bring them on.
How much do you feel when you're out there? I mean, is the ship so big that you don't really get tossed around by the waves, or do you feel yourself bumping up and down as you would expect?
It's a slight rocking, and with these large ships, they've been so advanced that you really don't feel a lot of it. Now, if you get into really turbulent seas,
you'll feel it.
Or high seas, you're going to feel it. But on most ships, and during that time of year, it shouldn't be too bad. That's why I'm saying the C-bands are really great. because they help you from getting seasick for people that might get seasick otherwise.
And you have to remember the hurricane season is over with by that time, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
But for the most part, the ocean's pretty calm. And you get used to the rhythm of the boat after the first
ride.
Right.
It could be quite soothing when you're lying there with the waves.
It could be.
I don't
have trouble falling asleep there. Usually so exhausted by the end of the day. I mean, we go to bed 2 or 3 in the morning. Usually don't get up before 9 or 10. So you're pretty well on your own. You can do what you want. There's always food around, like I say. If you don't have to, we really don't make a breakfast unless we're going on shore or something like that. They usually leave a chocolate at the end of the day. Each place is different. It usually leaves a piece of chocolate.
And they make the towel into a little animal or something for you.
And you can buy candy on board and that sort of thing. Of course, you'd be paying more money for it, you know, a captive audience. But you can buy candy, you can buy clothes there.
Toothpaste, perfume, jewelry. And it's all duty-free, you know.
If you smoke, by all means, buy the cigarettes on board. You can save a lot of money.
Well, because you'd want to pick up some of that Jamaican rum while you were there, wouldn't you?
Oh,
yeah,
well,
you
yes.
could do that. Now, generally
Good
speaking,
stuff.
The last cruise we went on, we dropped off the booze or the rum or whatever right before we got on ship with our name on it. Then they delivered that to you the last when you debarked from the ship. Probably the reason why they do that is because they don't want you to drink your own liquor. And they want you to drink theirs.
And pay for theirs.
And like I said, they bring a lot of money with you. I figured accordingly if you like to drink and that sort of thing, because you would be doing a lot of that.
And if you're a cappuccino drinker like I am, get it at lunch and dinner because it's free with your lunch and dinner, and you can get as much as you want and not have to pay for it, like
right.
in the bars and lounges.
Now, I like to change directions. I like to talk a little bit about the public areas, such as cafe bars, lounging, and other things.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, well, I'm reading pretty much off the Carnival site on the Internet, which is carnival.com. There's a Big Easy Piano Bar. Gather your friends and sing along to your favorite tunes in the Big Easy Piano Bar. Then there's the Olympic Bar. You can always catch the big game on the large screen TVs at the Olympic Sports Bar. Then there's the Hollywood Dance Club, which is huge. If dancing is your thing, you love the highly spirited, multi-level Hollywood Dance Club. And then there's the World Bar, which is the perfect spot to relax when after dinner drink. Usually also they hold art auctions, which are very entertaining. Even if you can't see it, you should go there just for the experience of, they describe everything, they tell the different artists. It's a lot of fun there. You may want to consider that. Also, we have different lounges. And then we have the Washington Library. Relax with the bestseller in the serene beauty of the Washington Library, whose decor includes portraits of former presidents. Club Rio, enjoy cocktails with friends as you unwind to the sounds of a live band in Club Rio. Rome Lounge, which is where the shows are given. Quite huge, I might add. Indulge spectacular Las Vegas-style shows in the lavish, multi-level Rome Lounge and their Venezia. Jazz enthusiasts can enjoy dancing to live jazz band, the Venusian Lounge. And let me mention the dining rooms briefly. There's the South Beach Club, which the dual-level South Beach Club offers a casual dining option with full breakfast and lunch buffet, salad bar, grill, and 24-hour pizzeria. Then there's Paris and London Dining Room. Savor delectable gourmet cuisine in the elegant settings of the Paris and London Dining Rooms. And then also, last but not least, is Club Monaco, a nautical spa. Of course, Club Monaco is whenever you prefer slot machines or the roulette table, you'll find your game at Club Monaco, one of the largest casinos at sea. The Nautical Spa offers a fully equipped gymnasium with everything from free weights and state-of-the-art exercise equipment to relax in massage or steam room. So there's a lot to do. You can be pampered. You can have massages, hairstyles, that sort of thing. Bring your money with you, though.
Yeah. Sounds very groovy indeed, I must say.
Yes, it should be a lot of fun. Cruising is a lot of fun, and people just always love it. And usually after they go once, I want to go back again and again.
And nothing else, you can always relax out on the decks and enjoy the beautiful sea, just listen by you.
And if there's people there that like golf, they have golf tees, they have virtual golf, they have shuffleboard, volleyball, they have trivia contests, which are an awful lot of fun on different types of subjects. And then they have, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they have, for the guys, they have the Best Looking Legs contest and the Best Hairy Chest contest. And it's just a lot of fun, you know, and people are very friendly, and they talk to you because you're all in the same place, you know. And there's no place to go except the ocean. So you can be as friendly or as isolated as you want to, depending on what kind of person you are and what you like.
Sounds glorious. My parents are coming up to their 50th wedding anniversary, so we're going to try and bundle them off on a cruise as well.
That's a wonderful way to celebrate an anniversary.
Sure is. 50 years is a long time.
It certainly is.
You have a number of cruises your way too, don't you?
Yes. And I can't recall for the life of me the name of the ship, but I had an uncle and aunt who went on a cruise and just loved it, you know, around the Pacific. And it was wonderful. They couldn't say enough about it. Yeah.
I'd like to give contact information to people.
Please do, yes. How can people follow up if they... it sounds enticing, so if people want to go on the cruise, how do they do that?
Okay, they can email me, and my email address is cruiseaway2001, that's CRUISEAWAY, and then the number 2001 at Yahoo, that's YAHOO.com. Or they can call the 800 number at my agency, and this is 1-800-999-6101, and when it answers, they push in extension 422. And when they hear the voicemail and the beep, then they leave their name and telephone number that they're interested in the ACB cruise, and either I or my supervisor will call them back. They also can call me directly in St. Louis, Missouri at 314-726-6893. We're having bookings coming in really fast and furious, and I know my manager in the agency, I work from home, it's just backed up with all the calls he's got to answer. So if people have called the 800 number and they haven't gotten any answers back yet, just email name and phone number, and I will call you right back and get all the information from anybody that's interested. But like I said, the $50 deposit does hit by June the 8th.
June the 8th is that. So it's not too far away to make that big step and decide that you're going to go on this cruise, which takes place from the 30th of November until the, 7th of December, right?
December 7th.
Yeah. Okay. That's wonderful. I've really enjoyed this, and I hope it goes well. We'll probably have you on the program afterwards to find out how it went, if that's all right.
That sounds great.
And if you want us before, we'd be glad to do another program.
Cool.
And we've enjoyed talking with you, and thanks for the time.
Well, thank you for making yourselves available, and I hope it goes well. It sounds like a great time. ACB, they get the business done at conventions, of course, but they also like to get together and talk and share information and friendship, so I know that this is going to be something very special that people are going to be going on.
Yes, it is.
Marvelous. Well, well done on the initiative, and do keep in touch. I hope it goes well. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. So, how does that sound? Sue and Larry Slater talking about the ACB Cruise of the Caribbean. How many... I was talking to Charlie about this the other day. Or was it? I think it was Charlie. Yeah, how many people say Caribbean in America? A lot of people in America seem to say Caribbean. Anyway, Cruise of the Caribbean, stopping off in Mexico and Jamaica and another destination too. A week on a very well-equipped modern cruise liner. And you have to make your mind up very soon. So, cruiseaway2001 at yahoo.com if you want to email Sue for further information or to express your desire to get on there. cruiseaway2001 at yahoo.com. You're listening to Blind Line. The time is 1:45 Universal Time. Time for an open part of the program.
Area code 212-812-2800 if there's anything on your mind. Area code 212-812-2800 and the conference code 0480-5512. This is the part of the program where you set the agenda, you say what's on your mind, you raise any topic that you want to discuss, that you might want to hear other listeners' opinions on. That conference code again, courtesy of spiderphone.com, 0480-5512. If you're listening to the program live, you'll probably find that in the media bar, the title bar of your player. What's on our minds this week, folks? I'll tell you what's on mine. Free matter for the blind. We have been focusing on this here in New Zealand because over time, it's been very interesting what's happened to our free matter for the blind. Over time, what happened was that the free matter for the blind provision kind of moved in its emphasis from being a right that blind people had won to being treated by our newly corporatized, commercial-focused postal service as a sponsorship. In other words, rather than treating it like something that we had a right to, it was treated like, you know, we are sponsoring blind people, or we are sponsoring the blindness organization. So when the corporate beings, the fundraising boffins in the postal agency, decided that blind people weren't sexy enough, they weren't getting enough return, enough recognition from blind people, they decided to take it away. And blind people said, no, you're not going to do that. This is a right. You may see it as a sponsorship, but we see it as a right. And there was all sorts of public noise made, and ultimately the sponsorship, so-called, was extended. Well, now it looks like it's been taken out of the realm of a sponsorship and put into a contract again. But I was talking to somebody about this last week who is fairly, shall we say, laissez-faire in their persuasion, a bit right-wing, bit of a ditto head if we had Russia in this country, which thank God we don't. And they said, how is it that blind people in this day and age can justify free matter for the blind? Why do blind people think that they should be entitled to post stuff without paying postage for it? Now, I had some answers that I kind of came up with, but I'd like to hear what you think, especially since many of our callers are from the US. And on the face of it, you know, given the reaction I hear from many people in the US whenever subjects like compensating for the cost of blindness come up and a state, a medical system that is government funded, you know, and you hear people say, well, these things aren't American. So is free matter for the blind actually un-American? And are people just on the gravy train and therefore not going to be consistent? Why do you think that free matter for the blind can be justified? Or do you think it can't be? Can it not be justified anymore? I'd be really interested in hearing your opinion on this. You probably received some Braille or some talking book material in the mail recently. Interesting to hear your thoughts on that one. The number, area code 212-812-2800. That's 212-812-2800. And then when you're asked for a conference code, it's 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. On the technology front, because I know people love to talk about technology, I see that Netscape version 7 is, I'm not sure if it's out or whether it's just being talked about. I have a feeling it might be out in some sort of preview form. Anybody had a go? You downloaded Netscape version 7, is it any good? I know that the Mozilla project has been working on using active accessibility in Netscape, which will be good. In fact, I've been meaning to download the accessible version for a wee while to check it out, because there are many people who feel that it would be nice to have a choice. At the moment, really, when you look at Internet Explorer, the integration between MSAA and Internet Explorers and screen readers is just so good. It's really difficult to justify using any other browser, including Lynx. But if there's an alternative, I'm sure some people would be delighted about that. So if you've got any insight on that. I was reading in a survey that
some staggering figure, like about 60% of people surveyed indicated that they were going to ditch AOL as an ISP because it was such a dreadful service. So they look like they're in a bit of trouble there. But let's go to the phones and hear what it is that you want to talk about, because it's your show, and talk shows without people calling in these parts are flops. So let's not have it flop. Hi there, this is Blind Line.
Well, good evening, Jonathan. This is Stan Luttrell.
Oh, you're on a new long-distance provider.
Well, actually, what I decided to do was I decided to call on my, using my calling card, which is 3.5 cents a minute, so just in case we're on hold for a while, we can be notoriously cheap.
What a bargain, eh? 3.5 cents a minute.
Yes. And, well, you know, of course, I'm looking at another long-distance phone service that will give, actually, it's all-inclusive, so I can make unlimited long-distance soon.
Now, this is good. I know you didn't ring up about this, but I'd be really interested to hear from people about different long-distance plans, because I do get a lot of queries about this subject, particularly people who want to ring me in New Zealand and say, well, what's the best way of doing that? And I hear quite a lot of good things about a thing called Big Zoo over in the States.
There's one called Big Zoo, and then there's another one that I'm fighting with my phone company to get, because it's a long, let's say I use a certain phone company that's being rather recalcitrant about allowing me to discontinue their service because I'm going to a all-inclusive long-distance service that offers local and long-distance and call waiting and, you know, all this good stuff with one package, unlimited.
Really?
And it's called the NCI Neighborhood. This is not an endorsement, this is just what I'm going to be using.
Yeah.
And that's, so anyway, I'm busy fighting with my phone company because they don't want to lose a customer, and I'm saying, having other ideas, and so we're having a little arguing match about this.
So does that mean that you would have to get a different phone number, or do you keep the same
number? No, that's why the companies are not too happy, because you use the same number, and they basically lease the lines from the local provider.
So do you have what's called local loop unbundling? Is that what you got?
About like, that's about right.
Okay.
That's about what it would be.
How interesting. Long distance is really complicated, you know. I was having a look at this recently because every so often I go to the States, and using calling cards from your own home carrier in those situations is not the way to go. I find that the best thing to do is look at the best deal from the country that you're in. And there are some nice calling cards. There's another really cool thing I've found is these budget dial-up type internet service providers where you pay in advance, like you buy, say, 20 hours, and it can be really cheap. Like you can pay about $20 for 20 hours, and you can use that whenever you want.
And that's what a lot of the warehouse clubs do. You know, in the United States, they have warehouse clubs with different names. I don't want to give anyone any kind of favoritism, but and so you can go in and you can buy a, you know, calling card which features maybe a little over 5 hours of time, and then you can end up paying between 3 and 4 cents a minute.
Mm.
And so really, in the United States, you really don't need a long-distance carrier because you can always, you know, program your phone to do the different dialings, you know, and put it all in memory. So you really wouldn't even need to have it. But anyway, about this business of you were talking earlier about the free matter.
Yes.
I don't use free matter very often at all, because what I've done is, because a lot of times I've noticed the free matter is, it moves more slowly. So if you want something to move, I'd rather pay the postage.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, for example, if I'm using a, if I'm paying my bills, I've made arrangements with my financial institution, and I just go ahead and pay bills electronically, and so I don't have to do that very often. So the bills I get, I just go and tap in the, you know, different things and make arrangements to pay bills. So I really don't have use for the free matter.
Yeah, the electronic bills are wonderful, aren't they? They're just
they are, because if you get the bill, and see, the thing is, if you deal online, you can check and see when it clears, when things have been paid, and it just makes things a real breeze, because it makes things a lot. It simplifies your life.
Yes.
And anything you can do to make life a little bit simpler, I like to do that. But I don't know. You know, you get in, like, the United States. The United States has a problem with the Postal Service anyway, because it's losing money. It's hemorrhaging red ink. And I have mixed feelings about the right of a blind person to have it. Now, see, I'm not a fair person to ask, because I don't like using the free matter service. I've had things go inordinately slow when I have used free matter, so I would just as soon pay via postal service. And I guess maybe I hate to see things get means tested, because it makes things more complicated, but maybe that's the way. Because, I mean, if a person can't afford to pay for it, here again, I'm going to sound like Rush again.
Yeah, you're a worry.
Why shouldn't you? Although I don't want to be mean like he is.
No.
But that's the thing. I think if a person can, especially in a situation where you have an institution that's losing money, because, I mean, even if it's run by the government, which is... the government is us, we can't expect things to constantly lose money. And we all have to be prepared, I think, to give a little bit of this.
Well, how are regular public libraries funded over there?
That is paid for out of your taxes.
That would be paid at a state level, right?
Right, local and state taxes.
Yeah, local and state taxes, yeah. I mean, you see, so blind people, just as here, blind people over in your part of the world are paying taxes of some kind for public libraries that are largely inaccessible.
Yeah, that's one of the issues that's sort of difficult to... I like your store, by the way, and this is sort of... I like the story of Audible. I haven't used it yet.
Yeah.
But I like this whole thing. And can I bring a change of something a little bit? But, you know, of course, you were having the story last week about internet radio.
Yes.
Which, of course, made me think about this whole business where the music, you know, downloading services. Now, I don't know why that people... if they want to go through a pay-as-you-go kind of thing, let's say you're going to get music, why can't you go and have the royalties given, you know, when you're going to download something, and keep it free and burn it to a CD, like they do with Audible?
I think that one of the music downloading services, because there are two major conglomerates getting into the music downloading business, I think one lets you do that. But
that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because what bothers me, there's one service that I know that, okay, I'm going to do it, Clear Channel in the United States, the big radio conglomerate, is going to also start a downloading service, but what they do is they're going to just allow you to download the music and you have use of it for a limited period of time.
Yes.
And if you want to use it again, you have to pay again.
Now,
to me, that is inordinately unfair.
It's a damn stupid business model, in my opinion. Nobody's going to go for that.
And I think that's the problem, is people want to get greedy with this.
Yeah.
I have a great deal of sympathy for people that aren't getting paid royalties on the record company issue.
Yes.
But my point is that I think that if you're going to be able to download something, your royalty is being paid for with the cost of the music that you buy. I think. And therefore, you should be able to download your music and do with it. Now, it's, as long as you're not trying to sell it, that you should be able to have it for your personal use.
Well, I was reading today that Vivendi Universal, I believe, was the record company involved in this. They're trying an experiment where they've released a dance remix of some particular song that I must confess I hadn't heard of in unencrypted MP3, and they're selling it for 99 cents, and they're going to see how many people will actually buy it for 99 cents, and it's unencrypted, which means you could easily put it up on Kazaa or Morpheus or whatever it is that you're using. But how many people, when given the chance, will go out and buy a track in MP3 format, unencrypted, no digital rights management, legally?
I would, if it was something... Let me put it... I'm going to say... I mean, I don't like a lot of the music that's out now.
No.
You know, I'm, you know, 40-something, so you know, a lot of the music, the big bang, 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 you know, rap music, no, forget it. That's not my style. But if you were to get something, I mean...
Percy Faith!
I like your MBS FM. Oh. That's a good...
Oh, not Percy Faith, then. You know,
bring back the
polkas.
No, no, please.
Yeah, put on the polkas.
That ancient. But you get, you know, you get, like, your MBS FM. That's a good station, and a lot of the stuff that you guys do on ACB Radio is good.
Bit of Guy Mitchell. Yeah.
Oh, no, please. Let's not go that far.
Ray Conniff. The Ray Conniff singers. Bring back the Ray Conniff singers.
Oh, no, that would be the great one to hear at a dentist office, you know, so you have the drill going.
What's this? Hey? What was that?
I said that reminds me of hearing Ray Conniff and all that kind of stuff. Reminds me, they used to do that, play that sort of music if you were going into a dental office.
That's right, yes. Or it's elevator music, too, you know.
Elevator music, exactly.
Yes.
Forget the elevator music. But I mean, if I was going to go into a place where you'd buy CDs, because I've bought CDs online, and if you had the opportunity to buy something reasonably, I mean, I would do this. I mean, I just bought a book through Amazon that I didn't download it, but I bought one tape that will be sent here soon. So I think people just have to find the right model that works, and I think people would be willing to pay for it.
Mind you, are blind people in America buying books anymore? I mean, even if they've got scanners, they can go to Bookshare now and get all the books they want for free that people have scanned.
Well, yeah, but I would just soon... I mean, I just like... I mean, this book happened to be on tape, so I just... And it happened to be out in real time.
Yes.
About the time the regular book was published, and it's by an author that I really... like, he has a radio program that is good.
It must be Garrison Keillor, right?
What's that?
Must be Garrison Keillor, right?
No. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Clark Howard.
No, I haven't.
Clark Howard has a consumer talk show that's syndicated around the country. And he has a book, and it's about managing, you know, getting the best out of money and avoiding scams and this sort of thing.
Don't get married. Don't have children.
No, that's a big. Never mind. But, you know, it's just something. But I mean, it's really nice to be able to buy a book in real time. Yeah, Bookshare and things like that are a good thing. Also, but I mean, I think the things like Audible. And I noticed recently that Audible is making money.
Yes, they are, I believe. You know,
just came out with their earnings it's about the same time your interview came out with the head of the company.
Yeah.
And they had a big earnings gain over last year. And I think that should tell the music industry something.
You're dead right. You're absolutely right. That the music industry have run and hid and litigated and been proper... I can't use that word. But they've been it. And Audible is showing them a model that works.
And I think that if they don't, they are going to be in big, big financial big financial trouble. And I mean, I know of a lot of the music industry that is. And of course, you can only avoid the inevitable for so long.
Yes, that's right. You can't put the genie back in the bottle, man.
I mean, it's just going to be. And see, the thing is, even if you go to let's say you go to all copy protected CD.
Yeah, just use a black marker pen.
Then what you do, what's going to happen is someone's going to go and invent a software package that will overwrite.
Hey, it's already been done. You've obviously missed the story that came out last week. Do you know what the cure to those copy protected CDs is?
I missed that.
A black marker pen. All you do is you run a black felt tip marker around the side of the disc, the edge of the disc, and it breaks the copy protection. And you know, I'm quite happy to say that, because I think that the copy protection is the most outrageous practice being perpetrated on consumers, because it completely ignores the fair use doctrine. If I want to buy a CD and copy it to MP3 files for my personal use, I'm quite entitled under the fair use doctrine and copyright law to do that. I'm not sharing it with anybody. And you know, the record companies, somebody, some legal service somewhere ought to come down on these guys like a ton of bricks, because they've completely got out of control.
Well, you know, one thing I'll mention, too, is there was a story that Philips, who I believe was the creator of the CD, or had the marketing rights to the compact disc logo, you know, they had the logo.
Yes.
And they're saying, they're threatening people that if they do go the copyright use,
yep,
but they will not let them use their logo.
Good stuff. Hey, I've got somebody queued up here, so I better let them go.
Okay.
But because they might not be paying 3 cents a minute.
Okay, we don't want that to happen.
That's
not
right.
Later.
Okay, thanks, Stan. Bye now. It's Stan calling from Oregon. He's always on the trail. Hi, this is Blindline.
Hi, Jonathan.
How are you, TC?
Oh, very good. I have to tell you, the last few weeks, computer-wise, have been very eventful.
Oh, no.
Well, one thing that I'll try to make it brief, but it's been several things. One thing, I was forced to upgrade PalTalk, and I've always known I would have a problem sooner or later, you know. But what I was expecting would be a Jaws problem, or it would be more inaccessible. But what I got was error starting program, a required.dll file, snmpapi.dll was not found.
Okay.
And I won't go into details of everything that was tried, but my mother, she has a Windows 98 computer, and I copied the file onto a floppy disk from her computer, put the floppy in my computer, and copied it to the C drive, but it wouldn't recognize that it's there. I'm running Windows 95. And the other bits of information I have is I have downloaded the Accessible Chat 3.2, on the Games for the Blind site. I go by Wonder Woman there, and I will be in a couple of weeks going through the process of upgrading to Windows 98 second edition, and I'm kind of scared.
Oh man, if you're upgrading, how come you don't, I mean, you may not have a PC that can handle XP, but it might handle Millennium, Windows Millennium.
Well, a lot of people have problems with Millennium and all like that, and I've been told Windows 98 SE was the best, the most stable, most friendliest operating system, and I've already got the Windows 98 CD, but I'm getting all kinds of conflicting information. One guy at Henry Norris said to totally uninstall Windows, reformat the hard drive, and then reinstall 98, and I'm not up for that, because I only have the one hard drive. I'm not up for installing everything over again, and I don't have all the CDs for every single thing, and, you know, my FlexTalk and everything would be gone, so...
It is a big hassle. It is true to say that would give you the very best performance, but as you rightly say, it's one major hassle to do that.
Well, another guy told me to just go ahead and install 98 over the top of 95, and that he said to be sure and remove the authorization key back to its floppy so you don't take a chance on losing it. And then I had one to tell me that, you know, despite what other people say, that Jaws will not talk through the installation. He said it will talk through most of it through the installation. It's just some stuff telling you how, all the new features of Windows 98 and a picture of Bill Gates and his wife that y'all won't talk through, but it'll talk, say restart now or something like that, and then restart and it'll set, talk the prompt. And then another on a list that I'm on says it will talk through most of it, through most of the prompts, and said if it's a lie, you don't have to remove the y'all's authorization key. So,
well, I can't recall. I don't think I... Gosh, it was a very long time. I mean, it was like 1998 that I upgraded from 95 to 98. So, I mean, 4 years ago. But I don't think I removed the JAWS authorization, although I didn't do it when I upgraded from 98 second edition to Windows XP and paid the price. I lost an authorization. So it's, you know, it's always a good safeguard. You can leave the authorization disk in the drive, of course, which will still allow you to use JAWS even when an authorization isn't on your hard drive. You've just got to make sure that you take the floppy out when you reboot. But yeah, it's a fairly painless process upgrading to 98 second edition, and then if I were you, I would run the FAT32 converter to convert your hard drive from FAT16 to FAT32.
Well, you know, that's what I figured on doing, because I think it said it run the FAT32 default by default, and 95 uses FAT32, so I thought, well, it wouldn't make any sense to convert from FAT32 to FAT16. You know,
oh, no, I don't think you can even do it. But have you got a version of 95 that is using FAT32?
Yes, I do. Whenever I go to where it tells you how much free space you've got, it says file system FAT32.
Okay. Oh, that's fine then. You must have what they called, I think it was called Windows 95B, which had FAT32 in it, so you won't need to run the converter then. So that's good.
But anyway, I have a cousin who was going into computer programming, and he works for an internet service provider or something. Anyway, what he's going to come in a couple of weeks, and what I've kind of decided to do is before he does anything, move the authorization. I've never had to move the y'all's authorization key. I think I can do it. It's on the training tapes how to do it. I think I can do it. So what I thought I would do is move the authorization key back to its authorization floppy and then unload y'all's. You know, so Charles isn't even running.
If you've got qualified sighted assistance on hand to help you through the process, then you may as well just take JAWS out and let it do its thing.
Yeah, because I really don't know if Charles will talk all the way. I mean, it's not that I think some people are lying. You know how it is. Some people think they know what they're talking about and they don't. It's not that they're lying or anything like that. It's just, you know.
Yeah, they're just confused and misguided.
I know it, and if lists are supposed to be, you know, to help people, which for the most part they're good. Like if you're trying to learn a new program or something like that, and trying to learn the menus and all like that. But when it comes to something major, like installing a new operating system or something really, really big,
huge. You can't get much bigger than an operating system upgrade, can you?
No, I don't think it can get bigger. So, anyway, my last few weeks have been pretty eventful. What with that and being on accessible chat, and you know, I have my own room there. On that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh. Can anybody make their own room, or do you have to ask? Robert, to make a room.
Oh, anybody can make their own room. All you do is on the main window when it says getting channel list, getting user list, all you have to do is tab past the channel list and the members list and tab to where it says create / join room. Press enter your room name, and then there's a checkbox that says make private, and if it's not checked, it'll be a public room, and if you check it, it'll be private, and it won't be visible. And then
groovy.
You can tab to OK and press enter, and it'll say please wait, and it'll make the pretty little doot-doot-doot-doot, and then you're in the room. And so anybody can make their own room. I name my room Wonder Woman's Courtesy Room.
Lovely.
I want it to be a nice room, you know, and there's a lot of, most of the rooms aren't, to me, aren't nice.
No, well, that's not good at all.
And I want to make sure that it stays nice, and I kind of figured for the most part Wonder Woman's Courtesy Room would keep the ruffians out. It doesn't keep all of the unpleasant people out, but some, if they find out they have no, you know, because I make it clear, you know, you got one alternative. Either treat people with respect and be nice, or you can, you know, go somewhere, go to another room or...
Can you kick them out?
Oh, yeah.
You can.
I haven't had to do it yet, but I think I can do it. You type in a reason why you're kicking them, and then press the tab key to the members list, and then arrow down or press the letter of the person you want to kick out, and then press F4. I don't really know exactly what happens when you do that, because I haven't had to do that yet.
Puff of logic. You just hang in there with a zero tolerance policy. That's what I say.
Tolerance. If anybody says anything out of line, I have to go watch it, you know, but I'll give them warnings before. I won't just dump anybody without any warning. The only way I would kick people is if they kept ignoring my warnings and, you know, got really offensive either with me or other people in the room.
Cool. Well, let us know how you get on with the upgrade, and I hope you have a fairly uneventful upgrading process.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. Have a lovely evening. Is it Memorial Weekend?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, have a nice Memorial Day. I think that means it's the WABC Rewind Weekend coming up. So that'd be exciting.
Oh, yeah.
All right, have a lovely night.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
So all these Americans are on holiday tomorrow. Lovely. Ah, Memorial Day Sunday, is that what you call it? No, maybe not, but it's the Memorial Day weekend. That's right, because I was talking to somebody about this last week on the show when we were doing trivia. Now, I do believe, let me just check here. Yep, the board is free, so if you'd like to give us a call, you will get straight through. None of this waiting. So if you are not paying 3 cents a minute, well, then that's all right, because you'll get straight on. I wouldn't be interested in hearing from people who have a view on the free matter for the blind and whether it is sustainable in the long term. How do you think if, for example, you know, there was some sort of major Republican Congress... you know, a really right-wing agenda, and somebody said, why are we paying for blind people to have free postage of articles for the blind? How would you justify it? Or would you justify it? Would you let it happen? Would you let them take it away? Because from time to time there is a suggestion that there might be some sort of threat to free matter for the blind, and generally the grapevine gets going and people start writing to the powers that be and things settle down after a while. So what's your view on free matter for the blind? You can talk about anything that's on your mind. All you need to do is call us on area code 212-812-2800. You get straight through. Area code 212-812-2800. And when Spiderphone asks you for a conference code, it's 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512. On a lighter note, maybe you might like to tell us about some embarrassing things that happened to you as a blind person in school. I was thinking about this the other day when I was talking to a colleague outside the building of the major blindness agency in this country. And it occurred to me as we were talking about matters of reasonable sensitivity that, of course, one of the big hassles of being a blind person is that you have to be really careful that you are aware who's around or whether anyone's around. And I learned this the hard way when I was a kid, because I used to really enjoy mimicking. And I used to do some pretty wicked impersonations of my teachers, as a matter of fact. And every so often, you'd be showing off in front of your mates, doing these amazing imitations of teachers, spot on, and the teacher would be right there. And it would be a hilarious business, except for the person who didn't know. And then as you get older and you get into a mainstream situation, then of course you might be imitating the teachers and the kids around you are sighted, and they know full well. They know full well that the teacher is right behind you. And that makes it all the more funny for them. So have you had any embarrassing experiences like that? Life's lessons as a blind person learned the hard way? I remember when I was about 15, I was doing French and worked out how you say, will you sleep with me in French? And said this to a girl just because I wanted to see if she understood what I was trying to say. And there was a teacher right behind me who certainly understood exactly what I was saying. Boy, I was in trouble. I remember... of course, there's another example. I remember when I was a teenager going to the Braille library at the School for the Blind, because although we were mainstreamed, we weren't far away from the School for the Blind. They had a kind of a school where they had a resource unit with a couple of teachers to help with special formats and other things. And then you go back to the School for the Blind and get material out of the library and do a bit of extra training, that kind of thing. So one day after school, I was in the library getting some books. And I don't know, the librarian wasn't there. There was a girl I was very fond of in the library, and I kissed her, and the principal happened to just open the door. And he said, "Is everything all right in here?" I said, "Yes, everything's fine, thank you, sir." He said, "It's just that I thought I saw Jonathan looking a little bit furtive." And everybody in the library is going, "Oh, man. Lessons about living with blindness, I tell you." Well, you're a quiet lot this evening. If you want to raise something completely different, that's absolutely fine. The board is free, so you will get straight on. It is nice to have someone to talk to. 212-812-2800, you'll find that in the title bar of your media player. 212-812-2800, and the PIN, the conference code, courtesy of Spiderphone, 0480-5512. That conference code is 0480-5512. And I don't know what else to talk to you about, so I'm going to play you a piece of music and hope that we get somebody who calls in with some insightful and interesting comment on something that I've raised, or perhaps something completely different, as Monty Python would say. Let's, since I've been talking about my terrible misspent youth, let's have a song going all the way back to 1985. Now, this is Madonna. And I'm crazy for you. Taking your calls right through to 3 Universal, live and worldwide on ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. I'm Jonathan Moser, and this is Blind Line. Your calls are what it's all about. Give us a ring.
Waiting room as the music starts. Strangers making the most of the dark. 2 by 2. You're so close, but
Yes, Madonna, Crazy For You. Well, crazy anyway. This is Blind Line. Look at that. That generated the calls. I should have enlisted the help of Madonna earlier.
Hi, welcome to Blind Line.
Hey, good evening, Jonathan.
Hello there.
Hello there. This is Kathy from Albany, New York.
Oh, nice to hear from you. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad.
Excellent.
Just wanted to mention that I heard the information on the Carnival Cruise Line, and I, way back when, a while ago, I took a Carnival cruise on my own, my first venture of dealing with a travel agent and actually going out all by myself on a cruise.
Wow.
Had no problem until I got into Miami, Florida. Now, I'll mention the airlines because they're out of business now, but it was Eastern Airlines, and the cruise was great. Except when we got to Florida, I had no luggage.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What happened to the luggage?
I lost my luggage.
Gosh.
And at the time, I did not know of the fact that you pack yourself an overnight bag to carry on the plane with you. No, I didn't do that. So, of course, everything, my worldly belongings are in the suitcase.
Oh, goodness.
I know where it went. Well, it came out to a happy ending. Every time we went to a port, they would check, and, of course, no suitcase. And I never did get it back. I got it back. I did get it back well after the cruise was over, about 3 months later. Nothing missing, but it ended up in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
How on earth did it get there?
God knows. I have no idea.
Well, that's scary.
I did get it back with nothing missing, nothing out of it. I did get reimbursed. I put in for a reimbursement, and they'd reimbursed it. I did ask. I said, do I need to, return the money if I do get the luggage back? They said, no, you don't need to. It's yours to, reclaim. But unfortunately, the store of the ship does have a store, duty-free shops and stuff like that. And, but unfortunately, some of the stuff on there didn't have my size, of course, so I was kind of out of luck with until I got to the last port, which was the American Virgin Islands, and we went shopping there, and I got a few things there, but outside of that, it was an interesting week. But outside of that, the cruise itself is lovely, and you do not feel any motion at all. I didn't even know we were moving until I happened to look out and said, oh, my God, we're out in the middle of the ocean. And I've got enough vision where they actually say the water is blue. It is blue. I can't describe how deep blue. The further out you go, the deeper the blue is.
Wow. It just sounds such a nice thing to do.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice. They had it was really funny. I think they had a men's nightgown contest.
Oh, my goodness.
It was one of the features.
The mind boggles.
It was interesting. And they say the food, you're constantly constantly eating, and you can get involved in anything that you want, or you can sit on the deck and read a book and do nothing.
So will you be going on the ACB cruise?
Huh?
Will you be going on this ACB cruise?
Unfortunately, I'm not. I would love to. When that came out, I went, oh, I want to.
Yeah.
We also want to do a couple other things this year, so unfortunately, priorities take over first. But hopefully, if they do this again, if it's that successful, maybe they'll do it again.
Well, I think so. It sounds like Larry and Sue are really into it, so if there's a good response, I'm sure that it will be a regular thing.
I hope so. That would be nice. I would definitely do it because I've always wanted to go on again. And what's nice is you go on, you unpack once, and that's it. You're not constantly. And even if the port of call, if you don't want to get off, you don't have to.
So you would encourage anybody.
When you get off, you got to remember to get back on before it leaves. Otherwise, you're gone.
So you'd encourage anybody who's sort of just on the edge to definitely go and do it?
Oh, I would.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Mm.
I didn't have any problem with it, personally. I didn't think. I'm trying to think. As I say, this was a long time ago, but I didn't have any problem with it.
Great. Hey, thank you for sharing that. I hope that's inspired somebody to say, yeah, maybe I will do that.
You know, they don't hassle you. You get, of course, I had enough vision to be able to read regular print, and on your door where they give you, like, activities of the day, and I think they had horse racing and bingo and trap shooting, shuffleboard, all different activities, and if you wanted to go, you did, and if you didn't, you didn't have to. But it was there for the taking if you wanted it.
Yeah, some people's idea of a good holiday time is to just blob out and do nothing and soak up the sun, and others want to do all of these activities. So I guess on a cruise, you've got the best of both.
You do, and then at night, you've got the different lounges and stuff. We had, there was one that had different variety acts. You had comedy, you had your lounge where you just had music, you had all different things. In fact, the staff is the crew is your entertainment. What they, you know, they do stuff during the day, but at night they turn into your entertainment.
That's cool. That's wonderful.
It's really neat.
I'll do that sometime when Amanda and I have been married for, you know, however long it takes me to save up the money.
And they have stuff for kids to do. I mean, they even have, you know, and a Carnival's got, shoot, how many cars? They've got a ton of ships now. And back when I went, I think they only had 4 or 5.
Mm.
And, you know, they're really nice. I had an inside cabin. I think that was the best week's night's sleep I ever had.
Really?
Is you sort of get rocked to sleep.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It could be quite soothing.
It was. It really was. You're not in your room. I mean, if people think they're going to hang out in the room, forget it. Don't even think that. The rooms aren't that big. They make them look real big in the picture, but they're really not that big.
Hey, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, and it sounds glorious. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye now. Well, Eric Coach 760, hello there.
Hello there, Jonathan.
Hi there.
I was going to tell you that I did enjoy the segment on cruises.
Thanks.
I'm thinking.
Wow.
My wife would just love that.
Yeah, so you're going to do it?
I don't know about that. I said thinking. Don't know if I can quite go that far as yet.
You'll just have to defer that next CPU upgrade.
There you go. That's the right idea.
Yep.
To defer that. Well, that's usually pretty inexpensive.
You know, because you have to foster these marital relationships, you know.
You do, yes. You do have to do that. And you've got to come up with some exciting events to do and that kind of thing. And I've got quite a bit going on as it is here with all the family and everything here at the house and then all the other stuff going on. So it keeps us happening.
Because that's the thing. Once the chase is over and you're happily into a routine, you've got to be careful not to kind of think, oh, well, I'm on the shelf now and I don't have to maintain things.
That's true. You can only do the upgrade thing for so long, and it gets kind of boring. But yes, for the most part, I'm pretty much done what I need to do at this point. But
you mean
anyway,
like
I had a
upgrading to Wife 3.0 or something?
There you go, Wife 3.0. That's it.
Yeah.
I think I've got this one for a keeper. So it's wonderful and exciting and all that good stuff. And we just certainly do value family stuff a lot. So.
Good on you.
Very important. And I was going to say, as far as the other stuff, as far as the music downloads, I rely a lot on music downloads because I play new music. So I rely on a ton of that stuff. And you know what? I actually do subscribe to a few services.
Mm.
So, yes, I do actually do the right thing, and I subscribe to them. I don't agree with a lot of them, but I do subscribe to a couple that offer me some content that I could actually go get and actually use for various things. And there's one service that does give me raw MP3s to do with as I want. And I pay a monthly fee for that. And it works out pretty well. I mean, if I want something that's rare or old or an old interview or something like that, I can go get it just like that.
So what's that one called?
Yeah, it's called eMusic.
Okay, I've heard of that. That sounds like a really good one because they don't encrypt the MP3s in any way, do they? They're just plain old MP3s, aren't they?
They're just plain old MP3s. They have all the categories, classical, rock, country, you know, whatever. They have that. And then I have another one called Audio Galaxy, but I don't have the free version. I have the upgrade version, which is a yearly contract. Not a contract, but a yearly thing. so I get access to all the fast servers.
Oh, okay.
So basically, while everyone else is looking at banners and pop-ups, I'm basically sitting here looking at my songs, and they have servers set aside just for us.
But with the pay version of Audio Galaxy, are you still sort of illegally sharing files, or do they only put the files up there that you have the right to access?
They block them.
Right.
They do block songs that they don't want you getting, but you can still find them if you look hard enough, because you can find people misname them. And
oh, yeah. Search for Elton John with J-O-N and all that sort of rubbish.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So people do that stuff. And then I have, and by the way, Kazaa and Morpheus are going away.
Well, there's an item in main menu about that this week that indicates that the Kazaa company is folding, but that they've sold it to the actual network itself to a company that's based in Vanuatu, which is a Pacific island out this way. And I think one of the issues with Vanuatu may be that they don't have the same kind of copyright laws that many other countries have. So the network looks like it's still going to continue in a different form.
Well, here's what the deal is. You actually pay to access a website, okay? You get a yearly subscription for the website, and you get access to all the stuff that uses their network, the Morpheus, WinMX, all that stuff. You pay a yearly fee, under $20, and you can access as many files and anything you want. So they're trying to... I've heard rumor that Morpheus is actually going to get some... Oops, let me turn that ham repeater down. I've actually heard there's some move afoot for Morpheus to try to get some copy-protected music up there as well. So they're going to be doing a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's going to be more digital rights management. There are ways to get around it. I won't go into it over the phone, but there are actually ways. I figured out the real one way already. So it's just nice having, let's say we have our utilities, but it's not. We don't do anything to their stuff. It's just the way we capture it. So.
And did you get the Otsduk scheduler?
Oh, yes, I did. I've got it. I like the logging. I love it. I've already tried out the logging feature. I got to get the scheduler thing set up, but I've got the logging thing set up because what I'm suspecting is when this whole internet thing is basically said and done, this is my suspicion, there's going to be some sort of requirement of logging. So at this point, I'm going to start implementing the logs at least, because that way I can keep track of when stuff's played, why stuff's played, and in what intervals, because at that point, if someone asks, hey, did you do a Windowize break at this time, I can look back and tell you exactly when it happened.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope that we're not going to go this logging way, because it was a significant victory that the original CART recommendations have been set aside, but we don't know what they're going to be replaced with. But I hope that sanity will prevail and it will be based on revenue and not based on how many listeners you have or how often the song is played.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah. Generally speaking, I just basically kind of want to do it just for good keeping, so I can look at how often the songs are being played, and if I should ever get a contact where I can start getting music legitimately, I can show them, hey, we play it this much, we play it this often, here's what we're playing, and I could actually give someone a playlist, you know, list exactly of what I've played, because I don't have to write it down or anything, it just does it for me.
Yes.
Upload it.
It does sound like a very good system. I'm going to have to go and buy it before it goes up in price tomorrow.
Oh, there you go, because, I mean, that's not too bad. So we've got that all in, we've got that basically running now, and you just basically put in your serial codes.
I mean, I have to say that I do object quite strongly to the fact that you have to pay another $150 for the scheduling module.
It's kind of ridiculous for what you're getting.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're getting you good, but, you know, there's always WinAmp. That's the thing, that there's always WinAmp for folks to use, but... I'm just come from the background. I used to do audio before. I was real radical. I had a lot of equipment, had a ton of stuff. And then I got out of it because I, got a family and I couldn't take up a side of the room anymore with audio equipment. It was all old and antiquated, and it didn't even really work right anyway. So what was the point? So when I got my computer, I got out of audio, and then I came back with and started doing broadcasting and stuff. And then I said, hey, I want to get my audio stuff back up. So I started getting a lot of audio software. And... I like to try not to put a lot of thought into how I'm going to do a particular program. I like to try to have it all set here so I can just push buttons and have stuff happen. And so,
me too.
The original Otsduk wasn't a bad situation, so we just try to keep enough stuff around. And then, of course, I have enough editing stuff to keep me busy too, because, of course, just finishing up the extra editing project after I got the call from our other friends there with the instead of people having to trek through the entire low vision seminar, I broke it up into five files.
Mm, that would be helpful.
With all the various speakers, very clearly marked as to which speaker, and I also left you a complete program text file.
Got that? Yeah, that's great.
So people can leave the so you can look at the text thing and say, okay, this happened at this time, and here's what he's talking about. And the IT3 tag in the MP3 actually tells exactly what the name of the talk was.
Cool.
I don't know whether that's much help to you guys, but...
No, I think it's great. Excellent.
Went ahead and actually put that right in the MP3, and when I edited stuff down, your average talk was about 32 to 34 minutes.
Brilliant. We'll get that up there later this week.
The only time that it was really long was about 112 minutes when he was talking about STEM, was Richard Lewis. He was probably the longest one.
Yes.
But it's probably one of the deepest conversations you'll ever get into about genetics.
Fascinating stuff.
And the
stuff.
Other thing is Free Matter for the Blind. I've used it a lot. I've used Free Matter. And it is. I don't really worry about paying postage for things. There's a couple times that our other distributor who brings us the old-time radio shows has sent me cartons that literally fall apart in my hand. And so I'll go out and actually just buy a mail envelope of some sort, and I'll just go ahead and pay the postage to get it back. But I have now been re-indoctrinated into using the Free Matter service because that's how they send everything to me.
Do you think we can justify it, though, in this day and age, that we should be entitled?
No, not really, because these days and age, there's so much more technologically available digitally, because a blind person who is into computers or has any interest at all in a computer can have something like ACB Radio or have something like that. They can get all that same content online where they used to have to wait weeks for books to come.
Yeah, but when you look at the fact that, at least in this country, about 80% of the blind population are over 65, and the vast majority of them don't have a computer, and for them, their talking books in particular are their lifeline. It's what they really live for and look forward to. So those guys don't have, in general, don't have a lot of online access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I definitely have overlooked that, and I have to say that for those folks, you know, I guess maybe it should be around, but I mean, I haven't run into real problems with it here in the U.S. Most of the time, if you have a stamp and you put it on the corner of your thing and you have it stamped appropriately, usually it gets honored without any problem. But I also don't abuse the system either. I make sure it's something legitimately going for Braille or tape content or something. So, but in an inadvertent way, every week that I sit here and redo all these old-time radio shows things for you guys, I get a little Free Matter for the Blind experience there.
So what can you send Free Matter?
You can send cassettes.
Yeah.
You can send, I guess you can send videotapes. I had no idea you could send videotapes, but they do it every week. So you can send anything that has to do with, you can send anything. Actually, there were some hijinks that went on in the past, but I don't think it'd be tolerated now. But you can send cassettes. You can send Braille materials. If, say, you have a newsletter for, like, an agency, you can actually put Free Matter, and that helps them a ton.
What about computer disks?
I would guess you could.
Right.
I really wouldn't know, but if you ordered, like, from GW Micro or one of them, they don't send Free Matter. You can send canes. I actually had a place one time. I ordered it directly from the vendor, a cane. From White Cane Industries, and it was a factory, and he just sent it to me Free Matter.
Okay. Oh, fair enough, I suppose. I mean, if the provision is there, you may as well use it.
Yeah, you might as well if it needs to be there. But, I mean, I don't particularly go out and look to see, well, what am I going to have to pay the postage? And, I mean, sometimes it's just better just to send it back to him. And, in fact, when I had a little stack of tapes, when I first started this whole treasure trove thing, I had to... I got the other tapes from the other gentleman, and so I had to take the ones we needed and then ship the other ones back to him. So I got a nice little mail envelope and dropped those in and paid a few bucks to send them back to them up in Seattle. So
right.
Not a big, most times postage is not that big of a hindrance.
Mm.
I want to get something through. It takes the extra few cents and I can send it right on off.
Well, very
anyway,
good.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jonathan, and we appreciate the show, and I do listen every week.
Good on you, Paul. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you.
Okay, bye-bye now. There you go, that's Paul Merrill speaking all the way from California. This is Blindline on ACB Radio Mainstream, and I got a message that I cleared during the record from Steve Matsura saying that my levels were shot, so hopefully that's better. We've been doing some stuff in the studio that required some very unusual levels. So I've been recording quite a lot of telephone-based stuff or stuff for telephone and then EQing it and sending it at very high volume through to a dial-up service that we run. It's actually quite an interesting service. It's run by the Foundation for the Blind here in New Zealand, and it's called the Telephone Information Service, and it's available toll-free from anywhere in the country. And there are two primary purposes of it. I'm telling you this because the board's free, so if you want to give me a call, you know the number, I'm sure, by now, and you're welcome to give me a call, and you'll get straight on. There are two primary purposes. One is to provide bulletins, straight reading by volunteer readers and sometimes paid narrators in the studios of material. Sometimes organizations pay to have material read on there. For example, if it's a government department that wants to inform people about something, they might use this telephone information service as part of their communications strategy. And then the other purpose is a kind of communications mechanism for blind people to share opinions. And for the last 6 years, I've been running a feedback line which allows people to record comments about issues of the day as they affect blind people, and we play them, put it together on a Monday, and we insert as many of the contributions as we can, and it's a bit like kind of a delayed form of talk radio. And it's very popular. And because it's national, it brings people together from all across the country. So I've been recording some information for that telephone information service, and that's why the levels may have been a bit odd. So if they were, I apologize, and I hope that things are in order now. Well, we'll just give you a couple of seconds to give us a call if you wish, and if you're talked out, perhaps really in holiday mode over in the US, then we will go out with a piece of music and call it quits for Blind Line for today. Certainly appreciate your calls. And don't forget, if you want to find out more about cruising the Caribbean at the beginning of December, a special cruise, some proceeds going to ACB out of it, some fun to be had by you, and obviously a cruise specifically with blindness needs in mind. So if you haven't been on one before, this sounds like a great introduction to a cruise. Cruiseaway2001 at yahoo.com is Sue's email address. That's probably the easiest way to get in touch. Since if you're listening to this, chances are very good you have internet access, right? Cruiseaway2001 at yahoo.com. Alrighty, well, we'll call it quits, I think, and say thank you very much for all of your calls, and we look forward to your company next week. Don't forget that Dennis Miller and the Snowman are back tomorrow for another exciting 2 hours of stimulating talk. Who knows what mode they will be in for Memorial Day. And, you know, Houston is getting ever closer. We're going to have some good coverage for you from the ACB convention in Houston. So hope that won't stop you from coming, though. It shouldn't, because it's going to be such a grand time. And you've got to be there to really get that atmosphere. We'll go out with some music by ABBA. And we'll catch you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before. But I have a talent, a wonderful thing, 'cause everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud. All I want is to sing it out loud. So I say thank you to all the music, the songs I'm singing. Thank you. lucky. I'm the girl with golden hair. I wanna sing it.